The news is filled with stories about the successes and struggles of the Kansas City, Missouri school district, but the metro area contains dozens of districts, each with its own story. That's why we've started a series on the challenges of suburban schools. Last week, we looked at Hickman Mills. This week, it's Shawnee Mission.
In recent years, the very conservative Kansas legislature has taken a hardline strategy to cut taxes and limit spending. This frugality and lower state revenue has resulted in less funding for schools. In the past 4 years, the Shawnee Mission School District has seen a budget reduction of $25 million. The district has responded by closing 6 schools since 2007 and laying off 400 staff members since 2009. But things aren't about to get any easier anytime soon. Kansas schools have been receiving some extra money from part of a 1 cent sales tax during the past few years. But that funding will end in June of 2013, and the state's new tax plan will result in a $705 million budget shortfall by the end of 2014.
Of course, Shawnee Mission follows the proceedings in Topeka carefully, and about 8 years ago, the district hired lobbyist Stuart Little to make sure its voice was heard in the Capitol. Stuart Little recently took part in a town hall meeting to explain the district's situation and political interests. Shortly after that, I called Little at his office in Topeka. Now, you recently outlined the district's lobbying plan as part of a district-wide town hall meeting, and I wanted to ask you about some of the things that the district is hoping to get the legislature to do in the next year or so. To start with, the district wants to make it easier for districts to raise money locally. What is currently preventing them from doing that?
Right now, the school finance formula sets the amount of state funding that the state distributes out to school districts, and the state budgets that process and spends that money. As well, the state has a cap on the amount of local effort that communities can contribute to their own school districts. It's called the local option budget. And so the school finance formula includes both state funding and an amount that a school district can raise locally through local property taxes. The dollars that come from the state are finite, and the dollars that can be raised locally are limited as well.
So how would the district like to see that change?
There are two things. And the beginning premise of the Shawnee Mission School District legislative platform, as it has been for a variety of years, is that we are supportive of an evaluation, review, and hopefully revisions to the school finance formula itself, which began in the current formula began in 1992, in part because the formula and the way the funding is distributed from the state, there is a very wide variation around the state in the dollars that are available on a per-pupil basis for students. And so the Shawnee Mission School District is in the entire state of Kansas, in the 286 school districts, I think, that currently exist, we're in the bottom 10% on a per-pupil basis. And so the dollars that we get to educate students in Shawnee Mission School District are in the bottom percent of the per-pupil basis around the state. And at the same time, the school district is capped, and this gets to the other part of the issue, is capped in the amount of local revenue that we can raise to try to fill that gap. And so we first and foremost are interested in continuing to have conversations about revising the school finance formula to make that more equitable and fair for the students, patrons, the taxpayers in Shawnee Mission School District. And at the same time, we're very conscious and aware of the reality of the impact of the tax bill, the kind of the constriction on state revenue here for a while, and how the dollars that will be available from the state to bump up that state part of the funding are going to be very limited. The district believes that for the expectations of what patrons want to see, what parents want to have available for their students in the district, requires both efficiency and us being wise stewards of the state and local dollars that we get, but also bumping up that cap on what is a local district can decide that they want to raise. And there's a variety of ways that local revenues can be raised. You don't just have to bump up the local option budget cap, although that's probably the most straightforward way. There are a variety of other things that are possible, avenues that are possible to do that. And so our legislative platform is an attempt to make sure that our legislative delegation and patrons are aware of the inherent problems we believe that exist in the school finance formula, and as well educate them about the need for increased revenue because we are funded at that very low per pupil basis, the cuts we've made in the prior years, the expectation of continued high performance from the district suggests that enhancing, opening up, expanding some of those local options to raise revenue that don't cost the state money are what we're going to be working with our legislative delegation about.
I think a lot of people would be surprised to find out that Shawnee Mission District receives less money per pupil than the large majority of districts in Kansas. Why is that?
Well, the formula contains a variety of weightings, and to say it's complex is an understatement. The school finance formula is a lengthy mathematical formula that throws in a variety of weightings and factors, and some of the weightings are dependent upon how many, for example, free and reduced lunch students you have, which in Shawnee Mission is now at about 37%, which is really historically high for the school district. There are weightings whether you are a small school district or not. There are other weightings for the number of English language learners that you have. So there's a variety of components into the school finance formula that then distribute those dollars out across the state. The outcome of that formula puts us in the bottom in the per pupil spending.
The district is also interested in seeing some changes in the way special education is funded by the state. Can you explain that?
The state funds special education by reimbursing, by law, the state is supposed to reimburse school districts for 92% of the actual costs for providing services to special education students. Whether the state reaches that goal at 92%, you know, sometimes they're around the margins. But the reality is the way that the special education formula works is the actual special education costs are not reimbursed at that rate. So there was a legislative post-audit a couple of years ago that concluded that the range, some school districts, there is a school district that's reimbursed in about the 50% of the excess cost range and another district that was over 200%. And so for a special ed child attending school at Shawnee Mission School District, the costs for that student are reimbursed at 72%, and if you are a special ed student in another school district, the costs are reimbursed at 200%. And so we would like to see, and we believe it's fiscally responsible probably, to bring down that top, bring up the bottom, and get everybody closer to that 92% range, because if we do that, that treats kids equally and fairly around the state and gets us closer to what the law says the state is supposed to be doing.
Now, the district is opposed to allowing tax credits or vouchers, which would support schools that don't have the same requirements as regular public schools. Why is that important?
You know, the Shawnee Mission School District has to serve every single student that walks in the door. And that can be a wide range of costs depending on the students that come in. And I think that goes back to our discussion about special education. Some of the needs for a special education child are incredibly expensive. And, you know, that's a responsibility that the public school system takes on, that Shawnee Mission takes on. And those kinds of requirements should be expected of a private school that would be accepting state funds, or, you know, if you do a tax credit, you're not necessarily sending funds directly to a school, but you're taking money out of the state general fund for a tax credit that would otherwise be available to be used in the public school system.
The district is also opposing unfunded mandates or programs. Have there been efforts in the legislature to try to impose those?
Well, I think that the language in the platform is pretty general and unspecific language about unfunded mandates, and this arises from some of the kind of prior year legislative interest in things such as mandating that 65% of the funding be used in the classroom. Shawnee Mission already meets that goal. We expend more than 65% of our funding in classroom on instruction, but other school districts in the state do not necessarily. And those kinds of things, there's been an effort in prior years to mandate centralized uniform accounting procedures and a variety of other things that if the state is going to mandate performance on some of these issues from school districts, that needs to be mindful of the cost that's required for folks to perform those tasks and to make sure that comparable funding is available if that's something the state wants to see done. Because if it's a new responsibility or a new authority placed on the school district, to carry that out are X numbers of dollars that won't be available for classroom instruction.
More generally, the district wants to see a sustainable finance formula. What would that look like?
Topic really arose after the Montoy decision, and the legislature for, I think, at least two cycles talked about and put together what were essentially kind of two-year funding cycles, because as you're well aware in the public budgeting process, you're working on the next year's budget halfway through the current year, and with school finance and the way the dollars that come from the state happen, that appropriations process sometimes isn't over until May or June of a calendar year, and school districts have to start their next fiscal year in July of that year. And so if you're making cuts or additions, and it's, you know, more likely cuts, you're making those adjustments late in the legislative cycle, you're pushing up against the budget cycle for the next year. And so districts and, you know, any entity, not a governmental entity, but any entity wants to have predictability and stability and be able to project what happens 2 years out. And so that's a general statement in the platform that urges the legislature to contemplate, as they have done in the past, talking about what's budgeted for 2 years rather than just a one-year cycle to make it easier and more predictable.
You're also supporting the continuation of spring school board elections. Why is that?
School board elections are held in the spring. They are nonpartisan elections. There's no identification of a candidate as a Republican or a Democrat on the ballot. And they are held at that time, and it allows a transition before the next school year begins. There has been conversation in prior years and legislation last year, I believe, and the year before, that would have moved those school board elections to the fall election cycle. And the belief of the board is that to move school board elections to the fall cycle partisan politicizes the school board elections in a practice that I think is contrary to what folks believe, the focus on education and what does the public believe are the best folks for the school district they want. It's not a partisan issue. It's a real policy issue about what people believe their school districts be. So we will continue to maintain our opposition to moving that election to the fall and turning it into a partisan election.
Stuart Little, thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you.
Stuart Little is the lobbyist for the Shawnee Mission School District.